welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. All week long, I've had special guests joining us. Now I have our good friend Matthew Arnold joining us. Matt, welcome again to fill in for Jess today, brother.
Thanks, Terry. Always a pleasure to be here.
It's always glad to have you aboard, brother. And today we're going to be talking about 10 reasons why the FDA's approval for the Pfizer jab isn't about health, but about forcing people to take the shot. Now, again, Matt and I are not against, and Virgin Most Powerful, not against anybody for their free will. You notice I said free will to take the shot. What we are against, and I believe the church takes that very clear, and we'll get into that, that you shouldn't be forced to take a vaccine.
Right.
And that's what we're going to be talking about. And I just want to also mention something beautiful that we just had the Latin Mass celebrated at our chapel again this morning. And it's the Novus Ordo Latin Mass. It's the Mass of Vatican II. And I just, you know, heard yesterday on Church Militant, they had their news about a Costa Rican priest was suspended because he celebrated the Novus Ordo Latin Mass facing the altar. They call it Ad Orientem. But that's exactly what the documents of Vatican II say.
Well, not just that, Terry. The general instruction for the Roman
Missal is right clear.
When it gets to the Orate Fratres, right,
yes.
Pray, brethren, that might sacrifice, the instruction, the rubrics in the Missal say to turn and face the people.
Exactly. Now, unless
he's going to spin 360 degrees like a figure skater.
That's right. No, it's implying he wasn't facing you.
That's right.
And Matthew, the only thing
And of course, every priest of the Latin Rite certainly has the right to say the Novus Ordo Mass in Latin. That's the normative form.
Yes, but unfortunately, some of the people who are in management, who are bishops, haven't got that Vatican II document in their hands, maybe. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Sure. I think it's absolutely the case that there are many bishops who weren't well-formed as priests and became bishops, and they don't know the liturgical law of the church the way they should.
Yeah. Anyhow, I just share that with you to pray for our priests, our bishops. And again, every Thursday here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, we get down on our knees from 7 to 9 to pray for the Pope to confirm us in our faith. We pray for the bishops to confirm us in our faith. We pray for our priests to confirm us in our faith. So they need prayers. And if you can't come to our chapel, pray for them at your home, before the Blessed Sacrament, at a church, wherever, because our leadership in our church definitely could use the prayers like everyone can.
Amen.
So Matthew, before we get into all these topics, Jesse always calls it soul food.
Mm-hmm.
And what we talk about that, everybody, is the idea of God's word. And every day at Mass, as you know, we have readings from the Old Testament, New Testament, and this is to enrich us in reading God's Word. And today, wow, all week long have been some pretty strong readings from Matthew regarding our Lord. It's like, you know, not gentle Jesus here, but straightforward Jesus is speaking. It's Matthew chapter 23, 27 to 32. Matt, I'd like to have you read the gospel and then give me your take, and then I'm going to tell you my take on this.
Sure. So a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Amen. Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! Mm-hmm. You're like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every kind of filth. Even so, on the outside you appear righteous, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and evildoing. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the memorials of the righteous, and you say, 'If we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophets' blood.' Thus you bear witness against yourselves that you were the children of those who murdered the prophets. Now fill up what your ancestors measured out." Thus far, the words of the Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow.
Yeah, that's
gentle Jesus, huh?
Yeah, he's talking straight from the shoulder here. It might be interesting. Well, two things. Of course, he's talking about appearances can be deceiving. Yes?
Of course.
You're like whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you look beautiful and nice, but on the inside, you're full of corruption. And he calls the scribes and Pharisees twice in this passage. He calls them hypocrites. And I would just like to point out that the word hypocrite in Greek literally means actor.
Mm.
So a hypocrite is somebody who's acting
putting
one
on
way.
A show.
Yeah, that's right. They're acting one way, but they're really another way.
Wow.
And that's to hear that from the lips of our Lord, that's a devastating critique of the religious leadership of his own day.
Well, you know, I apply that to my own life, okay? And that is, I'm married with my kids all grown up. But, you know, it would be like me having a mistress on the side and running, you know, this organization. It would be a scandal. Well, Bishop Foley, an American bishop from Rome, 8, 10 years ago, no, it was more than that, 15 years ago, said scandal is the biggest problem for evangelization. And he means that when you have leadership in the church, like Cardinal McCarrick is a good example. We all know he, you know, he was a prominent cardinal back in 2018. It all came out that he was living a double life.
Right.
He was telling everybody about Jesus, but he wasn't living that.
Right.
And the scandal went deep into the church, and it was the summer of shame, they call it now. And many people were scandalized. I still see that. I meet with people lots of times, Catholics that are not participating in the church, and they use this right now, this situation that, oh, the church is a bunch of hypocrites. Now, that's not right for them to say that, obviously, but it's an excuse so that they don't have to follow our Lord.
Well, and our Lord's pointing out I mean, you understand that hypocrisy is the one thing that he railed about more than anything else. And you'll notice that the only time he ever got angry enough to start turning over tables and beating people with whips when it was over liturgical abuse.
That's a very good point, Matt.
So if you think these things aren't serious, obviously our Lord thinks they are.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he points out the hypocrisy. He points out that it's a scandal. You just said scandal is this big problem. The word scandal comes from the Greek skandalon. And a scandalon was a stumbling stone, right? The stumbling block. And literally, in the ancient world, this is how they would slaughter the sheep. They'd run them down a chute, so they had to go down one at a time. And at the end of the chute, there was a stone. Mm-hmm. And that stone was called the stumbling block.
Yep.
It would cause their front legs to buckle, which would expose their throats so that you could slaughter them.
Wow.
Right? With one quick whick and it's done. Well, you know, you apply that to the spiritual life.
Yes.
The stumbling block is something that can lead to your spiritual demise.
Yeah.
And so it's much, you know, that's why it is such a great problem. That's why scandal is, you know, to you know, our Lord says scandals must needs that scandals come. Mm-hmm. But woe unto those by whom they come.
Well, you know, Matthew, we just had the Feast of St. John Eudes, and he has a comment about scandal with priests. And and you know this. We both have read this for years. He said, the most evident mark of God's anger and the most terrible castigation he can inflict upon the world is manifest when he permits his people to fall into the hands of clergy who are more in name than in deed, priests who practice the cruelty of revering wolves rather than the charity and affection of devoted shepherds. Scandal. So he says, they abandon the things to God to devote themselves to the things of the world, and in their saintly calling of holiness, they spend time to profane the worldly pursuits. When God permits such a thing, it is a very positive proof that he's thoroughly angry with his people and is visiting his most dreadful wrath upon them. Matt, I just have to say this. It seems to me, I mean, a day doesn't go by when I hear about a bishop, a priest, has lost his vocation because of the world, the devil, and the flesh, and he's scandalous what happens. So it seems to me that this saint is, I think, this was like 1601 to 1680 when he lived, okay? 500 years ago.
Right.
But nothing's changed.
Not only has nothing changed, but you notice that the crux of that statement from St. John Eudes is that scandal-causing clergy are a judgment of God against us.
Exactly. Against us.
Yeah, it's our infidelity that leads to that.
See, birds. Well, I have an old statement that where's the church going? Where its leaders take them.
That's right.
And so we need holy priests. We'll be holy people. Okay, Matt, I want to bring the
Let's remember that we're the pool from which they're drawn, right? So if we're not holy, then how do we expect them to be?
Exactly. Well said. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room. Fulton Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. And this kind of fits into our culture, Matt, as you know, about suicide. And I know you've taken counseling classes and you've done counseling. I do some counseling with people. And I have to say, especially with COVID-19 time that we're living in, more suicides. We have more burials at our chapel than I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And lots of them are suicides. So what does Bishop Sheen have to say about that? He says, suicide has become this mental epidemic. It's a plague. He says, what makes our age sad is not that our joys have ceased. I mean, these people still go to the dances. They still go to the ball games, right? But he said, our hopes have ceased. And what I mean about the hopes, I think Sheen's talking about, is the supernatural light look on life. Mm-hmm. If we think that life is only 60 or 70 years and then you're dead and there's nothing after that, that's very, very, you know, bad for just your attitude of saying, well, I better do everything I can because I only get 60 or 70 years. And that's depressing.
Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think that that's our culture right now. And to be quite frank, I'll just add another thing on to saying that the virus of COVID-19, I think that the virus of mortal sin, it needs to be addressed a little bit more than the virus of COVID-19, because COVID-19, 1% of the people are going to die from that, but 100% of us are going to die. And if we have mortal sin on our souls, that vaccine is confession, it's repentance. That's more important than COVID-19's vaccine, in my humble opinion, because on the long term, life is short and eternity is forever.
Amen.
So, Matthew, when we come back, we'll talk about this article, 10 Reasons Why the FDA Approval for the Pfizer Jab Isn't About Health, but About Forcing People to Take the Shot. And again, I have no problem you taking the shot, but don't force everybody to do it. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jesse. Thank you, Matt, for your taking the time. And I might must put a little plug in for Matt. He has a show right after this show that he has every Wednesday. Yep. He does this show, No Nonsense Catholic. And Matt, I just want to make a little plug right now. Can you tell us what you're doing and how people can listen to it?
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, for those of you that are actually listening to us on a radio station someplace, obviously when this show is over, you're going to listen to whatever your local programming is. But we are available on the internet. You can go to vmpr.org. That's virginmostpowerful.org, vmpr.org. And you can download our smartphone app, and then you can listen to all of the programs, because we have a whole roster of programs. We've got the week daily shows, Terry and Jesse Show, and Jesus 911, and Hands-On Apologetic. And then each day of the week, there's another show as well, weekly shows. And on Wednesday, it's No Nonsense Catholic.
That's
yours
right.
Truly. Today, I'm going to be talking about, liturgical abuse, actually.
Excellent.
Talk about what Pope Francis had to say. I mean, there's been such a flapdoodle over the traditional Latin Mass in Traditionis Custodis. But he mentioned in that document, and especially in the letter to the bishops, he mentioned the Novus Ordo liturgy as well.
Right.
So we're going to take a look at that. Also, if you've ever wondered what the New American Bible would sound like if it were actually a formal translation, I got the answer for you today.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, yeah. The way to do that is go to vmpr.org, download our free app. That way you can listen not only to Matthew's show today, but all the podcasts of all the shows.
Right. And we're also archived there, and we're also archived on Rumble.
Good. Well, before we get this article, I want to also mention on the 18th of September, we have a conference on the life of St. Joseph and how it applies to us. We've got great speakers coming in. Father Charles Murr, who's been on our show. Matter of fact, Father Murr is going to be on Thursday's show to talk about this new movie on the Eucharist of the Trinitine Mass movie.
Oh, yeah, the Mass of the Ages.
The Mass of the Ages. And as a matter of fact, are you ready for this? I don't think Matt knows this. Father Murr was very active in, he's got about 40 minutes of his instructions on the Mass as Father Charles Murr. So we got one of the guys participating in it.
Terrific.
Coming up Thursday. Be very moving. I've already had priest friends of mine say that when they watched it, they were in tears.
Wow.
That they were so moved. Okay, so that's the that's happening Thursday. But the conference, the way to register with Father Murr, we've got Father Wuninski from Chicago coming in, and my wife, Mary Danielle, is to go to vmpr.org. You can register there or call 877-526-2151. It's an all-day seminar on St. Joseph. We have Mass. There'll be confessions available. And we'd love to see you there. So go ahead and register by either on the internet or calling us. All right, Matt, before I start this article, I'm going to say one thing. I want to give you, first of all, the opportunity, because you and I have been talking for a long time about this show. And I want to make people clear that what a common sense approach to COVID-19 looks like, because I think you had got it. So why don't you share a little bit of that?
No nonsense, right? Yeah, well, first off, you were talking, when we were talking before the show, about the extremes. So there are people who say, hey, you know, just line everybody up and give them all a shot whether they want it or not.
Right.
That's one end. And on the other end, you got people who say, oh, no, it's all a conspiracy theory, or COVID-19 is a hoax, or, you know, the vaccine is going to, you know, make you visible to space aliens from a distance, or, you know, whatever it might be. Now, and as always, it's somewhere in between the extremes.
Yeah, exactly, Matt.
And it's very clear that COVID-19 is a pandemic. And what a pandemic means is that a lot of people have it, that it's spread all over the whole world. Is it a particularly deadly pandemic? Well, the answer to that question is obviously no.
No.
Because the majority of people who get it, I mean, the vast majority of people who are positive, either have no symptoms at all, or they get very, very sick but survive, or they're somewhere in the middle. You know, most of the people, I mean, the 1% of people that get COVID and actually perish from it, typically have comorbidities.
That's right.
Or they're elderly or whatever. They have some other health issue that this just compounds it. I've known a number of people now that have COVID. I've known people that tested positive and didn't have so much as the sniffles.
Yeah.
And I know, including a priest of from our parish who was very, very sick, had to be hospitalized.
Wow.
I don't deny that COVID is
right,
and I certainly don't want to get it.
No. Okay?
But I don't want to get the seasonal flu either, and I never get I've never had a flu shot.
Wow.
All right. I'm 60 years old. Which puts me in the danger thing.
That's right.
I have respiratory issues. I have asthma and chronic bronchitis. I have hypertension.
But other than that, you're all right.
But other than that, I'm fine. Yeah, and I'm overweight. Just throw that into the mix.
Okay.
You could see that for yourself. But I mentioned it for those listening.
He's humble.
On the radio.
He's a very direct man here.
The point being, at the end of the day, I'm a good candidate for somebody who would have a hard time if they got this disease. But I'm not going to get the vaccine that is currently available for a number of reasons, none of which have to do with me being a COVID denier or,
right,
you know, any of the rest of this. It's like, for one thing, I don't believe people should be forced. And again, if you are a Catholic and, you know, you're concerned about this, there is a moral question because it was derived, the testing on this was done using clones of cells from aborted fetus.
Yeah.
And that makes it, to taking this injection is a cooperation with evil, but it is a remote cooperation with evil. And I've seen the arguments from well-posted theologians.
Yes.
But I believe I have a well-formed conscience, which the church says you must have a well-formed conscience. I believe I know the teaching of the church, and I personally am not, I cannot be quiet in my conscience about taking this injection.
Right.
And so I'm not gonna. Yeah. And if they say, well, you can't go to a restaurant or you can't fly in an airplane, well, that's the price I'll have to pay. And if someday they say, if we don't do this, we're gonna, you know, come take your children away, or, you know, something, you know, draconian like that, then I may, under protest,
of course,
take it.
Of course.
Without that. Yeah, and like I say, and some people don't feel, because the cooperation with evil is so remote, they don't feel that they need to be worried about it, and they're fine in their conscience to take it, and that's fine. Okay, and I think that's important. That we need to make that clear.
I think it's a great point.
You know, we're not trying to start a civil war amongst the faithful.
Nope.
Here. You know, you can legitimately, if in your conscience you feel that this is morally okay, there's no reason that, you know, there's no impediment for you.
Yep.
There is for me, and I remember Saint Sir Thomas More.
Yes.
A famous scene in Robert Paul's play, where he won't sign the document that says that he's okay with Henry VIII being the head of the church in England.
Yeah.
And finally, the king sends the Duke of Norfolk over there to plead with him to sign. And at one point he says, you know, Thomas, just look at these names, right? With the exception of St. John Fisher, every single bishop and cardinal in England went along with the schism. All of the nobility went along. He says, look at these names. He says, can't you come along with us for fellowship? And Sir Thomas More, who is my confirmation saint, by the way, Sir Thomas More, who when I visited England, I got to stand in the spot where he was martyred.
Wow.
Okay, where he said, I die today the king's good servant, but God's first. Saint Sir Thomas More replied, you know, and when you die and go to heaven for doing your conscience, and I go to hell for not doing mine, will you come with me?
Wow. What a line.
You know, and
oh my God.
So there it is. You know, I can't make my position any more clear.
No.
But I'm not condemning others. And ultimately, though, the point that's made here, and I'll let you get to this article.
No, I want you to, this is important.
But it's why, you know, their headline is why the approval isn't about health, but about forcing people to take the shot.
Exactly.
And it is the coercion that I am more concerned with. Because if I can take the media and the government at their own word, apparently getting this vaccine and even the booster doesn't keep you from necessarily becoming COVID positive. So even if you're non-symptomatic, you can still give it to other people.
That's right.
And also, apparently, it doesn't keep you from getting it and getting very, very sick.
That's true.
So, you know, I ask myself in my heart of hearts, if this isn't really proven effective and they're, you know, trying to force you into doing it, is there more to this than meets the eye?
Yeah, I think, Matthew, thank you for sharing that, because I share that with you. And again, I have family members, friends, religious, who have taken the vaccine. That's their decision. So you do it. I'm not going to condemn you for doing that. But please don't force it on us. And actually, you know, what your position is actually what the church teaches, Matthew.
Ooh, yeah,
just surprised. Yeah, just, I mean, because you know what? Personally, Matthew, you're a nice guy, but your personal opinion, I don't really care.
Right.
You know, in a sense of my functioning of my conscience, I want to know what Holy Mother teaches. And Matt,
that's right.
We talked about this on the phone, that the conscience is most important in your informed conscience. But also the church says that with this COVID-19, and I don't hear anybody saying this, very rare, I haven't heard anybody actually, from the Pope down, mm-hmm. that says, okay, well, first of all, is there an alternative to COVID-19 other than this vaccine? Yes or no? Well, the answer is yes.
Of course, there's treatment.
So there you go. So there's treatment, so we should use it. Or if and also, number two, is this pandemic that you have all over the world, is this going to kill, like in the bubonic plague, you know, a third of the population? Is it going to? No, it's not. And so I think.
Yeah, the jury's in on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not, I mean, it's very virulent, but it's not at all as deadly as they had.
No, because we know how to treat it now. And we know if we catch it early. So here's my big point is, I don't have a problem of you taking the vaccine. My big problem is forcing it, because I'm convinced that, and when we come back from the break, I want to talk about, there are people who have said in high places in the government and also in business that we're going to use the vaccines to control the population. And there's someone who's got a big name. And when we come back, we'll talk about that person and much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. But the bottom line is, I want you to be informed. I don't want, you know, you to just do something without having really a serious looking into it. Now, we'll never get to all these points, but even the Nuremberg Code said that we shouldn't be, mandating vaccines to people or any kind of working with people and experimenting with people. And that's what's something that I want to bring up, that just let's be quite frank about it. The FDA is still with the Pfizer clinical trials, don't end until May of 2023. So, you know, the approval usually requires letting clinical trials run their course. That hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
right. The clinical trials don't end until May of year after next.
Right. And here's the point. The point of it is this company has not been immune to, basically, they don't take responsibility for their actions of this, because they've already paid out recently $2.3 billion settlement in the U.S. for illegally promoting drugs that have known have had dangers. So here we are. I'm just saying, buyer beware, caveat emptor, buyer beware in English. It says you're going to go to a company that's already paid out $2.3 billion in a settlement, and now they're going to give you a medicine. Now they don't have any liability to, if it's a vaccine that's going to cause havoc, even death for you, you have no recourse. So I'm a little uncomfortable with that, Matt. I don't know about you, but if you feel like that's a good risk, go for it. But when we come back, we're going to talk about a name. His name is Bill Gates. And what Bill Gates had to say about vaccines here on the Terry and Jesse Show, that I think also plays into this element of why I would be concerned about what's going on with mandatory vaccination. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jess today, talking about the vaccine for COVID-19 and whether it should be mandatory. And I want to just quote St. Thomas More. We were talking about some famous guy. He said, "Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal." And I think of that because look at the injustice that's going on in the world today, around the world right now, whether it's in Afghanistan and Africa, the Middle East, and Lebanon and Syria. So much injustice going on. But, you know, the bottom line is if we live in the state of grace when we die, this life is like a blink in the eye compared to eternity. So I just think we have to keep our eye on the prize.
Right, yeah. It's important to have the virtue of faith, but we must not neglect the virtue of hope.
Amen, brother. And Matt, I was just saying that Bill Gates made this clear on a YouTube, and we played it on our show before, about vaccines, saying that we could get some vaccines that will help curb the population in the world. His opinion is we have way too many people right now, and I think he brought it up to like 1.5 billion. We'd like to get it down, and we're at about 7 billion right now. So how do we do that? And I don't know for sure, but I've read enough articles about this COVID-19 vaccine that the question comes about women who are pregnant or wanting to become pregnant, that there seems to be issues with having safe deliveries. And so maybe there's something that Bill Gates is saying to us that we have to really be conscious of. Now, I'm not into conspiracies, but I'm just saying the man said it. And so I think we have to take his words seriously.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's not a conspiracy theory if you can produce the
evidence.
Yeah, the evidence that it was actually said. Also, you know, in the midst of all this, I want people to remember that we're talking about these things from a moral standpoint. We're talking about from, you know, the standpoint of the religious conscience and so forth. I'm not a doctor and you're not a lawyer.
Nope.
and vice versa.
Amen, brother.
So we're not going to give you any medical advice.
Nope,
or any legal advice. But, you know, I can tell you that, you know, you need to be, as the old saying, it goes, quiet in your conscience before you acquiesce to this or take it under protest if it becomes a matter of, you know, becomes mandatory.
Yeah. And, you know, Matt, one other interesting note about the jab that people are getting. Pfizer claimed that the vaccine was 95% effective, you know, 6 months ago. Now, they disputed that figure to begin with concerning it was talking about the population protection and not the protection of an individual. That's how they got out of that. Who gets the shot? Who would have nothing like the sort of a shield against the infection? But tens of thousands of people that were fully vaccinated are getting the COVID-19. And so it's a huge problem. Peter DeShaw, a senior editor of the BMJ, called the elephant name wanting immunity. He cited Israel's Ministry of Health from early July showing Pfizer vaccine was just, are you ready, 65% effective, which late July has dwindled down to 39%, where the Delta is the dominant strain. Now, apparently, this downward trend is continuing, considering that the FDA's own expectation is that it now 50% efficacy. And the term vaccine working, the FDA has violated its own low standards to fast-track approval for a vaccine that they haven't told us why. And so I guess the point I'm pointing out is the effectiveness of the vaccine has been very much not as effective as they said it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me, and I'm just, I follow the money. But, you know, as soon as it comes out, they say, now we're going to have a supplement coming in, a vaccine that we're going to have to give you like 5 or 6 months later. And then after that, we're going to give you another vaccine. Well, when I saw that the cost of these vaccines that the government's paying, guess what, folks? That's us, the government that we are. We're paying for this.
Right, that's right.
That free vaccine shot.
Government doesn't have any money that they didn't take from us.
Yeah. And so I follow the money, and I can see the billions and billions of dollars that Pfizer's going to make on this vaccine. And again, why don't I trust them? Because of their track record, Matthew. Sure. I'm worried that they've already had to pay out $2.3 billion in a settlement, the biggest in history, for what? Selling lemonade in front of their house? No.
Right.
For illegally promoting drugs that known to have had dangers.
Yes. In my former life, there was a certain saloon that I used to hang out in.
My former life, I love it.
And they had there was a big sign behind the bar. It said, "In God we trust, all others pay cash."
Pay cash. I love it.
And, you know, and that's the thing. I don't put my trust in worldly things.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're going to disappoint you.
Exactly.
And it's not if, it's when. And here on something, you know, as important as this, I think people need to be able to make an informed decision and not just be herded like cattle.
Well, that's just it. And again, Matthew, I'm not opposed to anybody wanting to get the vaccine. I want to make right. that clear if you just tuned in. That's not our position. It's not what the church teaches.
Yeah.
It's your free will to choose to take that vaccine. I would say caveat emptor, buyer beware.
Right.
Know all the ins and outs of what this vaccine does. At least to know if you're going to take it with your wife or your family. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up, Matt, is how they're forcing this. Now, I never saw this until I read really deep into it. When they said that this was Pfizer jab, got FDA approval, they didn't put in a big headline that for 16 years or older.
Mm.
You know, they didn't. That's just conveniently got left off. Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
And here's my question. When little kids are going to school, they're forcing them to have these masks on. The amount of kids that will die from COVID-19 was less than kids dying from the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm really questioning, what is it that they're so convinced that little kids who really are not in danger of dying from this COVID-19, what's the point of vaccinating them? That's all. It's just a question. I don't have the answer.
To put the best.
Okay.
Now, then again, and this is just, this is right in the realm of personal opinion. You know, I'm a catechist in a diocese, and if I am in a classroom and I ever give an opinion of my own.
You say it though.
I'll say that I mime removing. So I'm taking off my catechist hat,
mm-hmm.
and this is just me. And so this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think the facts will bear this interpretation, is that it's just political. They made such a thing of this that they have to be seen as doing something, even if that something is merely ornamental, even if it's only, I think the masks are symbolic. I don't think they're helping those children.
Of course not.
I think there are health issues that are going to be created because of it.
Exactly. That's what all the reports have shown.
And this thing too, and there's also, I mean, perhaps people are thinking about liability. If Pfizer doesn't have any liability if their vaccine kills you, but the school district can get sued if a bunch of kids get COVID.
Well said.
You know, so there's a lot of that. I think there's a lot of, you know, cover your behind happening here. And that's, you know, that's to put the best spin on it.
Yeah, that is the best spin. But I just want people to read this article. It's on our show page. The title, again, is 10 Reasons Why FDA Approval for Pfizer Jab Isn't About Health, But About Forcing People to Take the Shot.
Right. And you can, if you don't want to go to the notes page, you can go directly to LifeSite News.
Right.
It's right on their
blog. And you know, Matthew, I'm getting texts from people saying, well, what happens if we can't buy our food? We can't go into the grocery store. We can't go to a ball game. Go ahead.
If you're morally opposed to this, and understanding that it's that moral opposition is prudential at this point, because it's a remote cooperation with
evil. That's right.
I mean, it's the basis of moral theology that cooperation with evil is unavoidable.
Yep.
You live in human society.
Pay taxes.
You pay taxes and they use some of that money for bad things.
Exactly.
You live in human society and everybody sins.
Yep.
Even if you're in a monastery, you can't avoid cooperating with evil.
True.
Because it's not going to be all saints, right?
Right.
So, and this is very remote, right?
I agree.
Your cooperation is very remote. And so I think there are plenty of people in good conscience who are lining up to get it today or have already had it. And they can sleep at night. I have a moral issue with it.
Yep.
And because that's and I think I have a well-formed conscience and because of that. But if it came down to, you know, if you factor in now coercion, you know, even somebody who's morally opposed can acquiesce under protest. You simply say,
that's right.
I don't agree with this, but I'm doing it because, you know, it's a greater evil for me to go to jail over this or to
exactly.
you know, deprived of my ability to
provide for my family, too.
Provide for my family, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I have been saying to people. Call me all the time and said, I'm a doctor, I'm this, I'm that. I mean, I'm going to lose my job. I've got kids in school. How am I going to support my wife? And I always tell them, I said, you know what? You do your best to avoid it, but if they're going to push you into a corner, and you let them know, you know what? I don't like what you're doing to me because I think it's wrong for these number of reasons, but you know what? I don't think I have a choice because it's just like paying taxes.
Right.
If I don't pay taxes, I go to jail. My kids go hungry. My wife can't be fed, and I need to do that. Now, again, at the judgment seat, all this comes out. You remember, Matt, what does Bible say about everything is there at our judgment seat? The Lord is going to know everything that happened in our lives individually. And at that judgment, it all comes out. And again, if you come and say, you know, Lord, I did my best. I wrote a letter. I expressed it to my, I tried to get an exemption for religious, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do that. You did everything possible. I think our Lord is going to say, God bless you. I really mean that. I think he's going to say, I can see that you didn't want to cooperate with this, and you did everything in your power to not do it.
Right. And the thing is, and of course, this is on a scale.
Yeah.
Because if taking this vaccine was some kind of proximate
right.
formal cooperation oh, yeah. with evil, then it's going to throw me in jail.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there are things, there are hills that you die on.
You got to get it. Yep.
But this isn't one of them.
Right. And I want to just, again, encourage people to read all of the lists of these things here. But I wanted to also, Pfizer latest injectable already has a laundry list of side effects that have been linked to more than, are you ready, folks? This is just, because they don't get all these records very clear. 9,000 reported deaths, 12,358 permanent disabilities, and because of the vaccine, 36,665 hospitalizations, which by all accounts are a vast underestimate of the true damage, because there's no evidence that the FDA has investigated the majority of these reports. That's what's going on, folks. Matt Arnold, I thank you. I know you've got your show coming up yep. after our next segment. I've got Christine Niles from Church Militant coming on when we come back to talk about Catholic news on Church Militant. Stay with us on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Mr. Engineer, do we have Christine Niles from Church Militant on with us right now? I don't see her, but okay. Well, she's going to be coming on to talk about the news. I have to compliment Church Militant for all the news reports that they're coming out with. Every day I listen to it, whether I'm out walking. But this one that they did yesterday, it's still on the on their website, the Costa Rican priest suspended for saying a Latin Mass, the Novus Ordo Latin Mass, the Mass of Vatican II. I mean, it's almost hard to believe that they come up with these stories, but they're true. And I think that's why we need to be praying for Holy Mother, the Church. I don't see, we're calling, but no answer. Richard, Mr. Engineer, we're trying to get Church Militant on right now. All right. I got my text here. Folks, we're going to have Christine Niles coming on to talk about the Church Militant news. I'll just give a plug. Every single day, a Church Militant comes up with about an hour's worth of news that I think is really important for Catholics to know about, not only because you want to be a high-information Catholic, but really because you need to know what we're praying for. I mean, when you hear about a priest who is going to be 6 months suspended for saying the Mass of Vatican II, you kind of scratch your head and say, well, what is going on? Where are these bishops coming from? Well, that's why we need to be praying for them. And I'll be honest with you. I think we need to be praying for their conversion, because there's no reason for you to suspend a priest who's saying the Novus Ordo Latin Mass. This is what canon law says we should be doing our masses. And so it just seems like there's been a disconnect in the church. So, Mr. Engineer, do we have Christine on? Oh, okay, Christine, you're just here on audio. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. So good to have you call in. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire, young lady. Christine, I love hearing all the things that you do on this news podcast. Yesterday, when you talked about that Costa Rican priest suspended for saying the Mass of Vatican II, I'm like, are you kidding me? Is this real? But it is.
It's just unbelievable. And he was fully within his rights to offer that Mass.
Christine, we have the Mass every day here at our chapel, the Novus Ordo Latin Mass. And you know what? Come on. It's ridiculous.
The Pope never addressed that in his decree.
Nope.
In his recent, this was only about the TLM. It wasn't the Novus Ordo in Latin.
Absolutely, girl. Well, I want to tease people why they give us what you're going to be talking about later today on the news and why people should be listening every single day to the news to stay on top of what's going on in the Catholic world. But give us a little teaser about what you're going to be talking about today.
Sure. Well, one of the stories we're going to be covering concerns Buffalo, scandal-racked Buffalo Diocese in New York.
Oh, yeah.
They were recently, once the Child Victims Act window closed, it ended up that they had 900-plus sex abuse lawsuits in their bankruptcy proceedings, which is more than twice the number for any U.S. diocesan bankruptcy proceeding in the history of this country. Wow. It just goes to show how many problems there are in the Buffalo Diocese.
Yeah.
And so Bishop Fisher, who's the new bishop there in Buffalo, he addressed the scandals in a recent press conference, but he kind of just said the same talking points, sounded very apologetic, saying we're all a family, et cetera. Bishop Fisher himself is still sitting over cover-ups of his own.
Yeah.
So it's very frustrating. It's kind of business as usual there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know you've got other stories, but I also want people, I think you guys keep up the stories for 2 days. So yesterday, you also had a story that I want everybody to get a hold of, and that's the Fulton J. Sheen situation about the beatification of Fulton Sheen. You guys did a great job explaining where we're at with that, and I just want to encourage people to go to Church Militant to listen to that also, because, you know, we always say here, Christine, full Sheen ahead, and we're not going to let that one get away.
Oh, yeah. So, absolutely. I mean, we've been covering the Sheen story from the very beginning
good.
For years. And as many people know,
yes.
the New York Archdiocese was in a big court battle with the
yep.
Peoria Diocese.
Yes.
And Peoria, of course, is one that started his cause for canonization.
That's right.
They spent $1 million towards it. And then suddenly New York says it reneges on its promise and says, well, we're not going to hand over the body.
Oh, my God.
But they lost in court after
Thank
spending
you, Jesus.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars of New Yorkers' money. They
yep.
lost in court in 2019.
Yep.
They handed over the body. But then, you know, just when they're getting ready to beatify him,
yes. Yes.
they say, oh, no, we're, you know, in New York, Matano, Rochester Diocese steps and says, no, we've got to halt this.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
So the current status right now
yes.
is it's still on hold, but it's not clear why, and the Vatican is not really giving answers.
Yeah. You know what my take on that, and I'll let you get to the other ones, is just that Fulton Sheen's beatification would make the Church of Nice look really crummy. Okay? I'm just
Absolutely.
Being honest with you. That's how I see it. Okay.
Yes.
What else do you have for us for today, Christine?
So another story we're going to be covering is a resolution passed by the House Democrats that is once again going to try to steal the election.
Oh, no.
So essentially, it's going to federalize every state election and put the elections in the hands of corrupt D.C. bureaucrats. So, for instance, common sense voting measures like, you know, voter ID.
Yeah.
Updating voter rolls, getting rid of ineligible voters, getting rid of dead voters, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. States will now have to get pre-clearance from the DOJ before they can actually pass those measures in their own state. So this is just another, and this barely passed in the House. It was 219 to 212.
Wow.
It hasn't become law yet. It's got to go through the Senate. So we'll see how it's going to go in the Senate. But this is yet another attempt by the Democrats to federalize the elections and try to steal the elections.
Horrible. And whatever happened to subsidiarity, man? Whatever happened to the local government? Oh, unbelievable. What's the last story that you'd like to share, Christine?
Okay, so we have a local story, Lansing, Michigan, just a few hours north of us. Catholic school just lost its appeal in the Sixth Circuit Court. There was a statewide mask mandate, and the state essentially told the Catholic school, you got to impose mask mandates on all your kids. So the school sued, saying this is, you know, a violation of our religious liberty under the First Amendment. They lost in the lower court, and then they just found out this week from their appeal in the Sixth Circuit, they've also lost that appeal.
Yeah.
So, you know, not good news.
No.
But
no.
People need to keep fighting these.
And not only fight them, I'm a big promoter of homeschooling, and I know everybody can't homeschool. But, you know, Christine, the world that we're living in right now, they're coming down on us, and every factor, all the reports about the masks, they don't work. And so they bring out a negative aspect on the health of the kid. And so mom and dad who are listening, don't go along with this. Make a line in the sand. Say, not on my watch. You're not going to do that to my kids. That's my
take. I agree. And you know what? You know, a lot of parents are out there very intimidated by homeschooling.
Yeah.
I have four children. I homeschool all of them. And it was precisely because of the mask mandates that I pulled my kids
out of my
Catholic school. Because I was like, there's no way that my little children are going to be wearing that mask for 8 hours a day.
Amen.
There's no way.
Well, you're a good mama. And I wish more mamas and daddies would do that, because the mask for a child, we know the oxygen levels go down and it can ruin their health. And I think we just need to, we have to stand up, because when good people are silent, evil abounds. And right now we have a lot of evil going on. And that's one of the things I want to tell Christine, our listeners, about Church Militant. Not only do you give us the news, but you have great resources of catechesis about teaching the faith on to the people. There's a documentary that you just are coming out with on the Holy Eucharist. Can you share a little bit of that with us?
Oh, yeah. Really, really awesome. Beautiful. Priests have just praised it. Yeah. We really highly recommend that people watch it. Mm-hmm. This was something that Michael and the crew did a few years ago. They visited the Holy Land. They visited all the sites of our Lord, and they put together this very powerful documentary on the Holy Eucharist, the Lamb of God. It's very deep theologically. It's rich. It's something, though, that the average Catholic can understand. It's beautiful visually. And, you know, as far as the catechesis, that's really what we were created to do. That's why, you know, Michael founded his apostle. It wasn't necessarily expose all this corruption. It was to share the glories and the beauties of
Amen.
The faith. Because it's for the salvation of souls. Everything we do is for the salvation of souls. But, you know, you also have to expose the corruption in the
That's
church
right.
as well, you know, towards authentic reform.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Yeah.
And you know what? You've seen Church Militant be there to help the leaders in our church to make good decisions. I think your Louisiana story that you had a week ago is a good example, where Church Militant people applied pressure to have the bishop do the right thing. And I think that's a good thing. Myself. Bishop Sheen said, if souls are saved, everything is saved. If souls aren't saved, nothing is saved. And I think
Absolutely.
That what Church Militant is out to do is for the salvation of souls. And I just want to encourage people to go to their website, Church Militant website, and sign up, become a supporter for them to continue the great work they're doing. And again, every single day, I have it on my phone. I listen to the news. I'm walking. Well, I don't need to see you guys. You guys are great to look at. But I just want the information of what you're sharing, because it gives me an opportunity to pray for Holy Mother, the church. When I hear these things are going on, I say, oh, my gosh, we got to pray for that diocese. We got to pray for that priest. We got to pray for, Our Lady of Fatima said it. Souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. And I know, I've been to Church Militant's offices. You guys are the real deal. You live the
thank
faith
you.
And you don't only just talk about it, but you live it. And I want to
yes,
thank
absolutely.
You every Wednesday to come on and talk about the news that you're doing and the work that you're doing, because I look at it as, you know, Team Jesus. I really, Jess and I talk about that. We want to share with all of the lay organizations that are out there sharing the gospel of Christ and his church. And that's what you're doing. And I just fully endorse a Church Militant. On some people get a little upset with you guys because you're exposing things. But you know what? Pope Felix III said this in 371, that it's a sin of omission to not speak up when you see sin in front of us. So I think
absolutely,
you guys
and
are
there
doing
are just
that.
Too many scandals in the church today to remain silent.
That's
I
right.
think, especially after the 2018 Summer of Shame, a lot of people's eyes were opened with regard to McCarrick and then the corrupt clerical circle that kept him in power, and many of them still remain in power today. I mean, it can never go back to business as usual as it was before. And Catholics are required to speak up. You can't just sit back and be silent about it. Pray and work. Ora et labora. They're not mutually exclusive.
Amen.
You do them together.
Christine, I'm going to put you on the spot. Jess and I are coming out to speak in November at one of the conferences you're putting on alongside where the bishops are going to be having their meeting. Give our listeners an update. Is that still being worked out?
Well, I can't comment too much on that, but I will just simply say we are absolutely pursuing our legal option.
I love
it. Our philosophy has always been, if you hit us, we hit you back twice as hard. So we're not giving up on this at all. We're pursuing things behind the scenes. Just pray.
Yeah.
Pray for us, please.
We will pray.
But,
all right.
We're fighting back.
Thanks, Christine, for the update. May God bless you and your ministry. And we look forward to next Wednesday having you on again. God love you.
God bless you.
Yeah. Terry and Jesse show up. What do we always say at the end? What state should we be living in? The state of grace, not California, not Arizona, but the state of grace. Because at our exit interview, that's what really matters for all eternity. Life is short. Eternity is forever. Let's look at the long term. May God richly bless all our listeners. And if you want to take a look at getting our free app, because some of you listening on radio aren't going to hear our shows, go to vmpr.org, pick up our free app. You can hear all the shows, back shows, all there. Don't forget our conference on St. Joseph on the 18th of September. Go to vmpr.org under events. And up next, Matt Arnold, No Nonsense Catholicism on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you, family. We'll see you next week.